Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
Are you guys well? I'm really excited to be here today. So it's always an honor. It's always a privilege. And I oftentimes when I stand here, I think, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm sure that this word has gone up before. And he reminds me of our hearts sometimes need a bit more writing. Sometimes he just takes a pencil and he can write on our hearts his ways, and it's there. It's like you don't need anything else. But sometimes he needs a bit of engraving. He needs to rewrite something. He needs to rewrite something in our hearts and needs to soften our hearts. So perhaps this is something you've heard before, but perhaps it's something you need to hear again and again for it to really come and sink into your heart and to express and to come out in your thinking and to come out in your speaking and to come out in your everyday actions. So yeah, with that said, I want to take us to Matthew 6. We're going to stay in Matthew 6, all over Matthew 6, right from the beginning, right to the end. So you can open your Bibles there. We're going to start just straight away into Matthew 6, verse 19 to 20. And I'm so glad Daniel didn't carry on in while he was doing the offering, because we didn't actually chat at all. About what I was sharing, and he was talking about just leaving a legacy. And if you read Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not gather and heap up and store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy, where thieves can break in and steal it, but store up treasures for yourself in heaven, where nothing can be taken," right? Where nothing can be taken away. It can't be destroyed. It can't be eaten up by moths. It's there forever, right? It's an eternal treasure. Kids, I'm so glad you're in the house today. Where are all the kiddos? I can see you. And I'm so glad you're sitting and you are awake and you're alert. Because today is not just a message for us parents and adults and opas and omas and whoever. It's for the kids as well. And I'm really actually wanting to speak to families and speak to parents, because this is something we need to impart to our children. Treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. All right. Something I feel the Lord is shifting our eyes and just reminding us. Today is not a condemning word. I want you to just set that bed already right from the start. It's not a word that condemns. It's not a word that cuts deep. It's a word that perhaps warning, or perhaps a word that just encourages or reminds your heart. All right. So, kids, before we even go, I just want you to remember two words. Temporary. What is the word temporary? What does that mean? Temporary. Something that does not last forever. Right? Something that does not last forever. Eternal is something that lasts forever, all right? They can get it, we can get it, all right? So I just want to put that out there. In Matthew 6, we actually see some examples of things that are temporary, right? He speaks about what is the key thing here, and the scripture that's probably highlighted in five different colors in my Bible of all the years I've journeyed and all the days I've journeyed. Do not, or stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, worried about your life, about what you shall eat, about what you shall drink. Stop it, stop it, stop it. I've highlighted in so many colors. This yellow tells me I highlighted in 2016. I know that color I used in 2016. And there's a red, and there's many, many journeys that I've walked through this, but there's something that he just come and reminded me of this week. When he speaks about something that's temporary, right, something that fades away, he says, do not worry about those things. Do not worry about what you shall eat and what you shall drink. Have you seen lately, I'm speaking out to the children, have you seen God walk out in the street? He says, look at the birds. I feed them, right? He says, look at the fields. I clothe them with flowers. Have you seen God in the park scattering crumbs? And have you seen him walk around feeding the birds? I'd love to think, I'd love to imagine that he's walking out in the field and scattering seeds and flowers. I love that picture. I'd love to think that he's doing that. But what I know is, right in the beginning of time, right in the start, right in the beginning of creation, he put together a system. We call it ecosystems when we study biology, right, at school. He put together a system that sustains life to this day. Sustains what he has created to this day. He breathed motion. He breathed momentum into a system that's sustaining us to this day. And he says, look at that. Look at what I've created. Look at how I'm sustaining. Look at how I'm still sustaining that which I have created back in the Garden of Eden. Do not I care more for you? So put aside. I almost feel like he's saying, when it comes to food and clothes and the things you need, I've got it. I had it right in the beginning of time. I've breathed motion into it. I've breathed my creation has already created a covering for you. I've already sourced that which you will need. It's already put into place. So it's almost like he wipes it off of your agenda and say, don't worry about that. I've got it. Look, if I look after the birds, if I look after the fields, the clothing, don't even worry about it. But what I want you to focus on, what I want you to focus on is here in verse 33, but seek, aim at, and strive at first of all his kingdom and his righteousness. Don't worry about that. Take it off the table. I want you to focus. I want you to focus on my kingdom, on my ways, on my righteousness, on my face, on my presence. Seek first his kingdom. So, parents, this is where I want to speak to us as parents. And it's, Daniel mentioning parents and leaving a legacy. What are we teaching our children? What are you teaching your grandchildren? You know, by me saying I've been through this passage so many times in my life, I've highlighted, it's almost like there's a mountain that I've perhaps conquered in a big area in my life when it comes to worrying about food and clothes. I've been there. But then I find myself lending my ear out a little bit to influences around me, to perhaps the needs of my children. And I'm not talking about real needs. Hear me this morning. I'm not talking about, you know, the things that we need in our lives. But how many of you have, especially families, maybe parents, have felt almost an unhealthy neediness for something, right? It creeps up into our households. It creeps into our social platforms. When we're scrolling, we see, wow, there's something that stirs up. I don't have that. I need it. I actually really need it. Yes, I need it. It's a need. And then what you find is you have a stress and you have anxiety that builds up inside of you. And suddenly you start trying to solve it with temporary solutions and you're left unsatisfied because anything that's temporary doesn't last forever. And you find yourself in almost a cycle of temporary solutions, temporary needs. And what happens is we shift our focus off the kingdom, off of where did we start? Storing up treasures in heaven, storing up treasures on earth. We start shifting our focus a little bit when we entertain an unhealthy neediness for things. All right, hear me this morning. Remember what I said. It's not a condemning word. It's not a word that must boxlaw you for things and for clothes. It's not where I'm at. Where's your heart at? So our children might not have walked this yet. But we are there to train our children in the way that they should go. We are here to teach them how to discern between treasures of heaven and treasures of earth. We are here to guide them, to help them discern and see for themselves what am I storing up in my life? Where am I investing time? Where am I investing ideas? Where am I investing when I dream, when I imagine, when I think of creative things that I was speaking about? Am I investing, am I teaching them to look at what is eternal, what has lasting effects? Or am I teaching them to meeting their needs, meeting where their focus is at this level. I don't know if I'm making sense. Am I speaking to the right people here? Are you with me? All right. So it's a bit of a encouraging, a bit of a warning, a bit of a, hey, let's just come back. Let's just realize what are we doing? Where is our focus? Recognize that if there is a lie of neediness, recognize if there is a lie that's creeping into your household, we need this, we need this, we need this, we need to do the next thing, we need to do this. Recognize it and divert it and address it. Is it a need does it have eternal value, or is it a treasure that I'm trying to store up here on earth that will pass away, that will perish? Okay, so I hope that makes sense. In this same Matthew 6, it's such a full house of powerhouse of scriptures, verses. In Matthew 6, right in the beginning, he also speaks about, do not stand on the corner of the streets and boast about all your achievements and pray in the public where you can get recognized by people and recognized by people that pass around. For you will not receive a reward from your Father who is in heaven. When I'm doing something, and this is for the kids, I want you guys to listen to this. When you're doing something to get recognition from other people, when you're doing something to get a stamp of approval from someone, from a friend, from a crowd, from a peer group, from a teacher, from a parent. Parents, adults, whoever, if you're doing something to get a sense of approval from your peers, from your business, from your whoever it is, you know this, that your reward will be there. It will be short-lived. It will be here on earth. It will be forgotten. But when you do something and focused on the kingdom, because when you do something in private, where's your focus? When you're doing something between you and the Lord, your heart is set on the kingdom, right? It's not set on approval. It's set on the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord rewards you in heaven. He gives you an everlasting reward, right? In verse 10, the cool thing about building up treasures in heaven, are you guys listening? The cool thing about building treasures up in heaven is they last forever and they cannot be taken away from you, all right? They cannot be robbed from you. Verse 10 in Matthew 6 actually speaks about the Lord's Prayer, and we hear the Lord teaching us, pray that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? That means we get access to whatever we've stored up for ourselves in heaven. He says, store up treasures for yourselves in heaven. I'm not storing up treasures for the Lord. He's got everything. It's his treasures. I'm storing up a treasure for myself. It's something that I have access to forever and ever. All right? We get access to it here on earth. What does that look like? It might now sound quite confusing. How do I build up a treasure in heaven? All right, let's look at some of the examples that we can see. I want you to think of it as a bank deposit, right? Putting something in, I can make a withdrawal later. Just thinking about the family setup, I was thinking. I heard, Dan and I were speaking about it on Monday, and I'm hearing the kids lately a lot in our household. They have this impatient whine. It's when your voice tone goes up, and you say something like, it sounds like that. It's the impatient whine. And there's one place that impatient whine comes from. And, It comes from me, and I also know where I got it from, but I'm not going to say it aloud today. it comes from somewhere, but I know that impatience is something that I've invested into our family. I've invested it into our children. Now, I'm not condemning myself. I know the Lord can redeem us. I feel like I need to draw a line in the sand, I was saying today on the week. I need to draw a line in the sand and say, after we've done the Loving Our Kids on Purpose course, I just was convicted of so many things in our family that actually need to change. There's things that I just want to say from this point and no further. But it's something I've deposited. And I hear it. I hear it coming back. I hear it in the rooms. I hear it when they speak to each other. It's just this way of talking. Now, if I had invested a quiet answer, a peaceful, a patient return, I know that that is something that would have been cultivated. And I can make excuses, but I can listen to the Lord convicting my heart and saying, what are you building into? What is the investment? What is the treasures that you're building into your family, into your children? What is it? His voice is kind when he speaks. And his voice directs and his voice brings light into our lives. That's what this message is about. So you can invest. You can, eternal treasures is something that you can put in. It's like fruit of the Spirit. You can even invest love. You can invest joy. You can reap of that at any time. Right, what you put into something, you put out. Another example of something that is eternal is, how many of you know knowledge is not eternal? Has anyone ever experienced that? Knowledge. Let me give you an example. What I studied at varsity, the knowledge I gained at varsity, I have zero recollection. Maybe 5% recollection of what I studied at varsity. I was able to draw molecular structures of things that happen in your body, right down to the little ATP and all the little pukhterkis. I could give all of that. I can remember nothing of that. Knowledge is something that is temporary, unless you make it, unless it comes and sinks into your heart and you repeat it and you live it and you repeat it, it becomes revelation, it becomes wisdom. I do remember the wisdom that I learned back at varsity was about independence, about hard work, about what I put in, I give out, about working with people. I learned a lot of things that I have repeated since then in my life. But knowledge is not an eternal thing. Wisdom, revelation, those are eternal treasures that I get to store up in heaven. The key is this, to in the moment ask, what is of eternal? What is of eternal value in this moment? What is the lasting effect I can take out of that? What is the lasting lesson I can teach my children in this moment? It's a shift of focusing from the temporary to the lasting, from the temporary to the heaven. To heaven's treasures. You might be in a place where you are really in a financial struggle, and that's quite real. That's quite a timely example, and I think that's why the Lord might have put this in my heart in this season. Is there's a genuine there's pressure, right? There's pressure. There's financial pressure in many of our lives, and you might be forced into focusing, or well, not forced, but you might be so caught up in focusing on what am I gonna, you know, how am I gonna meet these needs? Remember, right in the beginning, we spoke about food and do not worry about food. You might be there right now. And the Lord's encouraging us to, again, shift it off the table and find the eternal value in the moment. Say you're sitting around a dinner table and you are eating tonight. Lentil stew, whatever it is, your meal is not extravagant. But what do you have in this moment that is eternal? You get to laugh together as a family. You get to sit with someone, but maybe it's not your family, but maybe you get to invest into someone's life, get to ask him, what is your heart? What's your heart? You speak treasures into that person's life. Hi, how was your day today? How was your day today? How was your, your cricket match today? I see you growing. I see you. I just want to commend you. You're doing so well. You're working hard. You get to call out treasures of heaven in this moment by shifting your focus off the temporary, the uneasy, difficult temporary situation, onto what is the eternal value in this moment. Money and time and resources will always be something that is temporary. It will always be something that can fade away. But it's what you do and how you invest and what you change with it that can have an eternal value, that can become a treasure in heaven. Right. Verse 21 says, so Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your entire body will be full of light. But if your eye is unsound, darkness will flow in. And then verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. So that's quite a scary scripture to teach from the front, because it's an area we often want to tiptoe around in the church. Is you cannot serve two masters, but you know, food and clothes and all these nice things. There's need and there's realness, and then there's and then there's extravagance. And I don't even want to go there. All I want to say is, you will know where your heart is. You cannot serve two masters. So it says an eye that is sound. What does sound mean? It means a healthy eye. An eye, what you see is functioning while it's healthy. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. So with your eyes, you seek, you're beholding heaven, you're beholding the kingdom of heaven. That is what a healthy eye does, and it lets in light. So where your focus is, where your eyes are at, where your heart is at, where your spirit is at, what you're seeing, what you're beholding, determines whether your body will be flooded with light, determines whether you have a sound eye, whether you're beholding the kingdom of heaven. But an eye that is perhaps focused on gaining treasures here on earth, perhaps your eyes focusing on the wrong thing. It's not beholding the kingdom of heaven. I'm just going to leave it there. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot be passionate. You cannot be, what's the word I wanted to use here? Obsessed. I hear in our groups, in our friendship groups, I'm obsessed with this. I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed with this. I want to say you can't be obsessed about the kingdom of heaven and be obsessed about gaining earthly wealth, earthly riches, right? There's nothing wrong with earthly riches. There's nothing wrong with wealth. You can use so much wealth for the kingdom of God. You can change lives. You can influence nations. You can influence leaders. You can influence and change many lives, create jobs with wealth. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying today, are you obsessed about the kingdom of heaven? Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And then these things will be added unto you. Right? Says the rest of that part. What happens if we do find ourselves perhaps obsessed about the one and obsessed about the other one? We find ourselves somewhere in between. And what does the Bible say about the in-between? About the lukewarm, right? He spits it out. I hate lukewarm coffee. I hate lukewarm coffee. I like very hot coffee or iced coffee. I cannot do lukewarm coffee. So I really want to encourage us. I want this to just be a message that reminds us, in the moment, in whatever you find yourself, you find yourself shopping, going grocery shopping, telling Daniel, I've been challenged to say, when you go into a shop and you're hungry, to not buy food that I can eat now and finish in 10 minutes, like a sandwich. Well, what can I buy that I can use tomorrow that is maybe some tomatoes, a loaf of bread, and whatever it is? You know, I'm using it as an example. But invest into something that has a lasting effect. When you speak to your children, when you buy them something, teach them, I'm getting you this because it's something that will last longer. It's something that you can use, that can invest into your life. It will have an eternal outflow in your life. Okay. I really felt the Lord shifting us. And some of you maybe know this, and some of you might need to have heard this again, but shifting our focus off of the temporary onto building eternal treasures. All right, and I think that is it. Otherwise, I might find myself in a spin. So I'm going to bless us. Just pray for us. Father, I pray that you will come and remind us, Lord. Remind us every day. Remind us in the moments that we drive, in the moments that we get to spend with people, in our businesses, Lord. Remind us of the eternal treasures that we get to store up, Lord. Remind us of the moments that we get to experience the treasures of heaven, where we get to tap into those treasures of heaven that we've stored up, Lord. But remind us what this is about, Father. Remind us of your Spirit when we want to fix our eyes on issues, when we want to fix our eyes on the temporary. Lord, remind us to fix our eyes on the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray that there would be a passion that burns in our hearts, Lord, an obsession that starts igniting in our hearts and our spirits for your kingdom, Lord, to see your kingdom come everywhere, Lord, to see your kingdom come in our homes, to see your kingdom come in our families, in our schools, in our businesses, to see your kingdom come and spread in every area of our lives, Lord, that we would become obsessed with your kingdom, with your Spirit, Lord, and that light would flood our hearts, that light would flood our lives as we behold you, Lord. Yeah, I just pray for this church that you'd really come and move and make this word come alive in our lives, Lord, that it would become a reality, that it would become something we live, that we move, and that we act out on a daily basis, Lord. I think of your goodness and your love, and we bless this in Jesus' name. Oh, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.